Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can, of course, take us on the go with the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com, and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Eric Bickle. You guys know I'm a big Luka Doncic mark. This article irked me for a second. Got me to click. Clickbait says, former NBA coach says Cooper Flagg better than Luka. Avery Johnson, who actually coached with the Mavericks and is now with CBS Sports, says, give me Cooper Flagg. This team is going to be tremendous once Kyrie gets healthy. I don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Cooper Flagg is going to be that good. Have you seen the pictures of skinny Luka? Luka, no. Apparently has gotten skinny in the offseason. So maybe he's heard the noise. We'll see. He could also go on a food bender or drinking bender and come back a little chunkier. But he looks kind of like he did when he first joined the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was battling a calf injury this year when he came back, and maybe he did it right. I think he had a dispute with Dallas because Dallas thought he should come back sooner. But look at these guys who've gone down with Achilles injuries. Because most of them had calf injuries before.
Can't come back too early.
And then
for
they
those.
Came back, so
something's got to give.
Maybe his team was correct, but we'll see how Cooper Flagg plays as a rookie. Going to have a lot of expectations. Course, here in Washington, they draft Trey Johnson, great shooting guard from Texas who shot nearly 40% on his three-pointers. We'll get Chase Hughes' perspective coming up in 20 minutes. But let's open up the entertainment page, EB.
That's right. It's driven by BMW Fairfax. I don't have the read. Do you have it? I know it's DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner. for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine, get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager. You can check out their entire selection of vehicles at BMWFairfax.com. I believe I'm reading a spot today where they talk about they have the biggest selection on the East Coast of vehicles right now. So make sure you get over there. They'll have whatever you want, discounts on everything, X3s, I3s, all that stuff. Excuse me. By the way, John Kine put out his podcast yesterday that he and I did a couple days ago. Check that out. You want to follow me on Twitter, EB Junkies. I retweeted the link. I had a great time. Just, you know, John does a great pod, you know, about the Redskins, the Skins, three times a week or so. And in the off season, it looked like he needed to kill a pod. So
he killed a pod with you?
Killed a pod with me and really enjoyed it. Had a great time. So check that out.
I got to do Shorts and Othello's pod today.
Did you swear off that pod?
It doesn't matter.
No? I thought you swore that off one time after they asked you a question that you didn't like.
Drabby last year, because he likes to do one a year. He calls it the Junkies. So yeah. He likes to do it in the month of June.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, Drabby, remind me of the question they asked me.
Maybe about, I can't.
They asked me an awkward
really
question.
Piss him off, right?
We can't say it on our airwaves.
It had to do with my mom.
And so for some reason upset you. I mean,
well,
I can't
my
remember.
Mom's dead. My mom's out.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking of.
But was
that's what I was thinking of.
You interpreted it as disrespectful to your mom.
Of course. And so I was very pissed and I told them I'm never doing it again, but I got over it.
You relented. Was it more disrespectful than how Grand Danny treated you during a Masters interview or something?
Yeah, that was
they mocked your love of golf.
They mocked my love, made fun of it.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly, but that's why I never did their show again. Right. Anyway,
he's got so many grudges.
Is it hard to keep track of all your grudges?
It is hard.
Yeah.
There's a long list of them.
Yeah.
So Eric Bickle, I am going to do the
IDM.
Yeah, IDM podcast at his house. I'm actually going to go to
Shorts' house. He's got a baby now.
All right. Well, I guess I'll hear the baby in the background.
Why are you doing that versus just like zooming in?
I don't know, because he lives in Ashburn. He probably lives 100 yards from me.
Right.
So I'm just going to, it'll be easier. It'll be chill. I'll have a cocktail or two.
All right.
But I'm doing that.
I was telling Drab, you know, I haven't had a drink now tracking the days, 26 days. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've lost a pound. What happened to like losing all this weight when you stop drinking? What happened?
I don't know. You're drinking tart juice now. That's pretty sugary, I'm guessing.
I am, like, instead of drinking, eating, you know, I am still putting stuff in my mouth. But you know what it is? I think personally, it's when you get older, it's just, like, really hard to lose weight. And you can even stop drinking. I thought I would be silly back at the body of an 18-year-old. Yeah, but
you weren't drinking, like, three IPAs. No. Which have tons of calories.
I'd have one or two drinks maybe 5 days a week.
Yeah, but what were the calories on those?
Probably pretty heavy. I put a lot of sugar in there. Those old fashions?
I don't know.
Those old fashions are pretty sweet. I went out last week and I had like two IPAs.
Those are heavy.
I mean, Drab told me he's locking in. What are you eating, chicken every day now? How long is that going to last?
No, I've been locked in for 2 days. Actually, not even 2 days. Two dinners.
It's good.
What about the other meals?
Gotta start somewhere.
What about the other meals?
Well, we had McDonald's here yesterday. Did we not?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that was good though.
Yeah.
What's up with you and your boy? Like, are you still going over there, Cork? Are you still going over there and grinding out?
Yeah, yeah. Good.
How many days a week? You were going to get to every four. Day.
Yeah, I mean, like a year ago, I was locked in.
Now
I'm just a fat waste.
Yeah.
Of life.
Yeah. Well, join the club. What happens? Wait till your kids start running around.
Like, I saw your tennis clip you posted yesterday.
I thought his tennis strokes look a little unusual.
I thought it looked good. Nah, he threw his racket at the end of it.
You threw your racket?
Can I tell you, you know when you post your golf swing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have a little bit of an unorthodox swing. Works for me. I got a DM yesterday. When you post your golf stuff and people comment on it, I never really thought about how annoying that is.
Mm-hmm.
This guy says to me yesterday, Drab, I'm not a tennis player, but you have to get further away from the ball and have your arm extended out when swinging. Looks like you have a limp arm while trying to hit it.
Meanwhile, you've been playing tennis your whole life, right?
I literally almost smashed my phone. How ballsy do you have to be to give someone advice on a sport you've never played?
Happens all the time.
Who's the guy?
I don't know. Some random listener.
I'm coaching a kids team. Volunteer, by the way, not paid. And I once had a mom come up to me in the middle of a game, said, I don't know anything about soccer, but... And then offered me a piece of strategy advice.
I'll be honest, when I post my golf swing is better than I am a golf. Like, my swing is okay. My golf swing's better than I am as a golfer. Yeah.
You have a beautiful swing.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say that. I think you have
a great looking swing.
Thank you. But my swing is better than me. Like, because it kind of falls apart.
I know people like that where mechanically they look like Adam Scott, but for whatever reason, their scores don't match their swings.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, people see my swing, they think I'm way better than I am.
Yeah. And there's some studs that have bad swings. What about that Korean guy that everybody was going crazy for that, like, runs up to the ball?
Oh, yeah, there's one like, that's really weird.
I mean, you could look like Matthew Wolf or Jim Furyk.
No, you got to swing your swing. Everyone's
got to swing. It got you there.
Yeah. Yeah, Reggie Miller didn't have, you know, the perfect shot.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
But he's one of the best shooters in the history of the game.
I almost hesitate to put my swing out there anymore because sometimes I play so poorly, it's, like, shocking. You know what I mean? It's like, and people think I'm way better because my swing looks pretty. I would say that without being cocky. But my scores don't reflect it. Valdez is exactly right.
Well, because you're probably giving away strokes around the green. Because
I'm a freaking head case and I crumble under pressure. True. I mean, it's just true.
Yeah.
I'm a disaster. But I was surprised. I actually thought, Drab, when I saw, I need to play, you and I need to hit. Because I need to experience just hitting with you, huh?
Yeah, AWOD gives me swing tips all the time, and I smoke.
I would
his
never
ass.
Give you a swing tip, but I would like to hit with you. I just want to see your game.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Because you do. I do think you have an unorthodox.
It is a little bit.
I didn't know that it was so unorthodox.
It's solid.
Because I've seen you play basketball, and you're normal.
Yeah, it's not that unorthodox. Relax. It's not,
all right.
It doesn't. I'll be honest. I've played with you a few times tennis. It didn't jump out at me as like some weird swing.
I saw it and I said, "Oh, it looks good."
Yeah. Why did you end up throwing the racket though?
I didn't get to the part where you threw the racket. Did you post your swing twice or just once? Like a rally? You had a little rally. You put on your Instagram.
I posted something 2 days ago of me throwing my racket at the end of the point.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Toss it in there.
What, you just hit it in the net?
Well, that
tells you that speaks to your attention span. So you saw it, then you clicked off.
I thought I watched a lot of it.
It's like 10 seconds. You watched 7 seconds.
I'll bring it into you.
Yeah. You threw your racket because you lost the point?
Lost the game.
Oh, the game.
Yeah.
You are a racket thrower, right? That's your thing.
It's hard to stay composed sometimes.
I actually pride myself.
Is John trash talking you?
I actually pride myself. This is true. On, you know, shanking something, mm-hmm. or just doing something horrific, and then just calmly walking back to my bag and placing my club.
You've matured, but in your youth, you used to be a club thrower.
I have a scar on my forearm
when
I was out. I think it was at River Bend.
Okay. Yep.
Where I did something. I don't know. It was a par three or something. I took my wedge and I fired it at the tree. It bounced off the tree and it impaled me on my arm. I literally... I threw it against the tree, it snapped, and then part of the club impaled me, and I'm walking around, and I had a golf club coming out of my arm.
I guess that was definitely number 10.
I don't know. It could have been.
Here's his video.
It could have been.
Yeah, you didn't
he's
go to the
a,
end of the
video.
He's
got an inside-out forehand. I'm sorry, that's butt unorthodox. It's fine. He's
but
a
also, that might be because he's hitting it there. He's not hitting a cross quarter.
Okay, so you did toss it at the end. Okay, I didn't see that. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't like you tossed it out of anger. You just kind of like tossed it.
Yeah, just flung it.
Right. Do you always go inside out on your forehand? You're an inside out guy?
I'm working on it, yeah.
Oh, that's a shot you're working on.
Yeah.
Oh, no, normally you're not like that.
I'm tweaking my swing. I've been working on it.
Oh, you have? Oh, yeah. Okay, all right.
So when you get people telling you how to do something, when you're constantly working on it, it's so effing annoying.
Yeah.
Valdez always talks about that. He never posts golf swings because all these guys that shoot 97, give him tips.
Right. Yeah, man, Valdez is a great player. He shouldn't worry about it.
It's hard not to.
Because you want to share. You want to share with your hobby and your interest.
Yeah.
Right? But my life is so interesting that people can't stop commenting on it.
That's...
Man, at least it doesn't bother you.
I get it. By the way, I'm sympathetic.
When's Wimbledon start?
I don't know.
Speaking of tennis,
well, U.S. Open's always the end of
next
summer.
Next week, you're
doing your end of summer rant next week. I'll be away, but
next Friday.
Next week is your end of summer rant.
Yeah, next Thursday. Well, we're off Friday.
Even though it technically just started like a week or two ago.
Next Thursday, the summer's over.
Right, because it's July 4th.
July 4th is Friday, but
right.
I believe we're off on July 4th, so July 3rd, it's over.
Do you want me to do a quick EP? Because I know we have Chase Hughes coming up.
That's what we were trying to do.
Yeah, I know. I already did the read. sorry. Dude, they have pictures of Orlando Bloom. It's like on the cover of Daily Mail. Now, Daily Mail is hilarious, but like they're acting like this is the most important story in the world right now. It's Orlando Bloom at that's freaking wedding week of Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez. And remember they said that this was going to be Orlando Bloom's coming out party as a single guy? Apparently it was. They got him kissing Kim Kardashian. He's hanging out all over. He wants a piece of that Kim Kardashian.
Well, he's think about it. He's the hot single guy at the wedding.
Yeah.
Because fresh off the split, there's already photos of him and his dong out there.
From years ago. Right.
So girls know what they're getting into.
Right. It wasn't super impressive though, right? Wasn't it? It was like, okay.
Are you kidding? You don't remember the paddleboard?
I do remember the paddleboard specifically, but maybe because he was only like half-sized, it seemed like. Right?
You know what? I'll DM it to you. Refresh your memory.
All right. Yeah, DM it to me. All right, real quick, let's go to, is this guy now going to goof on my golf swing? This is great. It's just what I want. Most people are nice. Trav wants me to go to him. All right, John, go ahead, John. You could say how bad I sound.
I'm not goofing on your golf swing, but why are you posting it?
I like to just document it. I think my swing looks pretty.
He wants.
And I'm working on it.
Because
he
wants people to see it.
Yeah, I'm working
ADs.
On it. I'm documenting my journey.
Because the people that come back and say, why do people share anything? Yeah.
I put pictures of my kids. Why do I do that? I think my kids are beautiful. I post pictures of my kids.
don't know. It seems a little narcissistic to me.
Oh.
Okay. I get it. But why do people post anything?
Because they want reactions.
I'm documenting my journey, to be honest with you.
Okay. I don't know. It just seems, I don't know. It seems just a little egotistical.
Well, what do you post on social media, John? Let's hear what you
nothing.
Post.
What do you text?
He's
like me.
What do you text your kids or wife or something?
I'm very proud not to have an Instagram account, not to have an X account.
I think that's fine.
Very happy about
that. Jason's that way. That's fine.
That's fine, John. But what do you share with your family? Do you a meal that you're having? It's the same thing.
Feel free to share pictures. Yeah, feel free to share pictures with your family.
Right. Well, it's the same thing.
Listen.
Why are you so hostile, Valdez?
Well, it's not the same thing.
It just seems strange. I mean, I don't know.
You're a little bit jealous that my swing's so sweet.
He hasn't seen it. He doesn't have social media.
Yeah. He obviously knows.
He's listening.
No, because, I mean, people, you know what's great about X? If there's anything good on X, someone will send it to me. I don't need to have the account. Same with Instagram.
I'm the same way.
You've seen it.
Jason, you and I think are in the same, from the same school.
What? I mean, because the guys say that they're on X because they like to see the news. Well, anything
that's
that
totally
happens.
Where I get my news.
I know.
It's number one spot where I get my news.
I get it. But if once X hits it, I mean, all the main sites will have it 30 seconds later.
I guess.
But you'll have it 30 seconds before me, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but what do? You just go to but you don't know when to go to ESPN.com or something, right?
I mean, I go all the time. I probably go 100 times a day.
You do?
To all, not just ESPN, but a lot of the sports sites. Oh. Or my buddies will send it to me.
Right. Right.
So I don't need to
have it. John, just don't be so hostile. You sound so hostile. Can we just be happy?
Yeah, it's almost Friday.
Can we just be happy?
EB, I love you, EB.
I'm showing my journey as I'm trying to improve my golf.
He's projecting on you. There's something uncomfortable in his life.
Show it to your instructor.
I do. He told me my swing looks like Freddie Couples.
That's about all you need to do.
You have that pause at the top?
Not really. No. Probably could stand.
Just was comparing your hair.
No, he was very complimentary. Now I don't want to play with him. He wants to play with me. And I don't want to play with him because he said your swing, you have like Freddie Couples swing, and I don't want to disappoint them.
Mm. All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we're going to get back to the Wizards and their draft. Chase Hughes, who covers the Wizards for Monumental Sports, he'll join us next here on the Junkies. Welcome back, Junkies. Come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Been talking about the Wizards draft throughout the show. You know what, Jason? I didn't know. Did you want them to draft Trey right there? It probably would have come down to Trey or Fears.
Yeah, it came down to those two.
Who did you want?
I think I'd rather have Trey because, he's a little bigger. And I feel like the Wizards are kind of set at point because I think Bub can be the point. Mm-hmm. And if he can get better, I think they're fine. I didn't think they really needed a true point guard. I think if you can get a scorer who can play, on the wing, I think I'd rather have that.
All right, we got Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. What's going on, Chase?
Not much, guys. Good to be on with you.
What's up?
So did you have a sense that they were high on Trey beforehand?
I had a sense that they liked him. I honestly didn't think he was going to be available at 6. I thought he was going to go top 4, maybe not get past the Utah Jazz at 5. I don't think a lot of people expected the Jazz to take Ace Bailey. He didn't want to play there, reportedly, but they still took him anyway. So I think it was a little bit surprising that he was available at 6. I think he was a top 4 talent in this draft, but I think the Wizards were pleasantly surprised that he was there because he's a really, really good player, arguably the best shooter in this draft, I think has a chance to be a 20-point-per-game scorer at the next level, and that's something the Wizards really needed. They've overloaded on defense so far in their rebuild, and now they have a guy with a really high offensive ceiling.
Chase, if Bailey and Johnson were both available to the Wiz, do you think they still would have taken Johnson over Bailey?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there are similarities between those two. I mean, Ace Bailey's a little bit taller, but they're known for their outside shooting. And Trey Johnson is just simply much more productive last year in college. Obviously, Ace Bailey is tantalizing what he can do around the rim. But, if you look at the numbers, he didn't get to the rim very often. And he didn't finish very well around the rim, much like Trey Johnson. So I think some of their weaknesses are similar. But Trey Johnson was just much more efficient last year. And, you know, there are some question marks with Ace Bailey and his willingness to pass. You know, he had 11 games last year in college with zero assists. It's pretty rare for a guy to do that, especially someone who is averaging over 10 field goal attempts a game. Trey Johnson doesn't really have as many question marks. So I think he fits with what the Wizards want to do. Similar players, but, you know, perhaps fewer weaknesses.
What if Johnson was gone and Bailey was there? Would they have selected him in that scenario?
I think that would be pretty likely, yeah. Either him or Jeremiah Fears is another guy who I think made sense to them at that spot, another guard. Just a lot of players were available in that range who can score. So I felt like the Wizards were in a good spot either way. You know, they were 30th last year in offense, one of the worst shooting teams in the league. Weren't great defensively either, obviously, but I think the outlook was much more clear and much more positive on that end of the court because you have Bilal Coulibaly, you have Alex Saar. They needed to add some high-end offensive talent. So I think they were going to be in a good spot either way, and Trey Johnson ended up being the guy.
All right, so you mentioned the term offensive talent. When you look at some of their building blocks, whether it's Saar, who was drafted number two, Coulibaly, who's now finished 2 years, or Bub Carrington, who do they think has the most offensive upside?
Of those three, I would definitely say Bub Carrington because he's more of an offensive player. The other guys are more known for their defense. And Bub Carrington, you know, shot the ball decently last year. I think he closed strongly. His overall percentages might not have been great, but he was the best shooter of the rookies. He was a really good pull-up shooter, you know, off the dribble, especially for a rookie. Made far more pull-up threes than any Wizards rookie on record since they've been tracking that stat. And he's just been known for doing that, you know, scoring the ball, creating his own shot. He's going to have to get a lot better at driving into the paint and scoring around the rim. You know, his trajectory as a basketball player is kind of interesting because he grew really late. Like, as of his sophomore year, junior year of high school, when he was playing in Baltimore, he was, like, the shortest kid on the court. And then he had a growth spurt his junior, senior year. That made him a D1 player. It made him an NBA player. But he was always the shortest guy on the court, so he had to score from the perimeter. He couldn't, you know, go into the paint and then score against the taller guys on the court. So his skill set kind of has to catch up to his body and after he's had the growth spurt. Hasn't happened yet, but I think what he's shown off the dribble, I think there's a lot of potential there.
All right, so with the 18th pick, they ended up trading it, right? A lot of people here, you know, across the country, everybody knows Clayton, right, for what he did in the tournament. So that was an intriguing guy, I think, for this fan base, potentially. Utah selects him, or we select him for Utah. Did you get the sense that they traded the pick knowing they'd be able to get Riley, or is he just like one of two or three guys they would have been comfortable with at that position?
You know, Will Dawkins, their GM, was asked that last night, and he indicated that they didn't know Will Riley was going to be the guy at 21. He said this draft was more unpredictable than it usually is, and I feel like it's always pretty unpredictable, but he said that they had a few guys they liked at that spot. They ended up going with Will Riley. And it's one of those picks where, like, once they make it, you know, you can see why he was the type of player the Wizards like. You know, he's a wing with positional size who, you know, might not have a defined skill set at this point, but they're taking the long view with him. And if it works out, he could be great, you know. And he's really big for his position. You know, he's probably a three, and he's 6'8" without shoes. So he's going to be, like, almost 6'10" court. It's one of these guys who I would kind of define as like a lottery ticket where, you know, the talent's there, the size is there, maybe wasn't the most productive player in college, even though he was the sixth man of the year in the Big Ten, but he was a big time recruit going to Illinois, a five-star recruit. He's from Canada, played high school in Pennsylvania, didn't, you know, have an All-American season like some five-star recruits did last year, like a Cooper Flagg. But he was kind of in the mix as like a top 10 player in his high school class. So I think the Wizards are banking on that talent, the talent that made him one of the best recruits in the nation, and hoping that, you know, that talent can sort of reveal itself in the coming years.
Talking to Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports. Hey, A.J. Johnson's an intriguing guy, young guy, very skinny, super athletic. One of his dunks went viral early on. What's the Wizards brass saying about him?
Well, I think they just like having another first round pick talent in the mix. You know, that was, I think, the centerpiece of their return for Kyle Kuzma. Obviously, Chris Middleton was the big name, but AJ Johnson was the guy that could have a greater impact long term. And, you know, he just didn't have a whole lot of tape. He didn't have a whole lot of production for teams to go off of. He hasn't had a whole lot of experience. He played in Australia instead of playing in college and got like 0 minutes. So last year was really the first time that he got extended minutes. And, you know, he's athletic, as you mentioned. He's really, I think he's taller than people realize. Like I've you know, seen him sometimes on the court standing next to opposing players. And I'm like, oh, wow, he's as tall as that guy. That's crazy. He's really aggressive and good at getting to the rim. He's going to have to add weight, going to have to improve his shot. But kind of like Will Riley, you know, like just in terms of the size and the talent and the athleticism, like there's star potential there. If he could figure it out, it just might take a really long time to see if that will actually take place. So I think for him, I think management likes him. And next year you're going to see the young guys play a lot of minutes, and I think he'll be in that mix.
So now that they – you know, Middleton picked up his player option, making 32 mil. McCollum, they trade for. They still got Smart. They bring in Olenek as well. So they've got a bunch of veterans, not a bunch, but four or five veterans to couple with those young guys. What do you think they're going to do? Are they going to keep try and trade off some of these vets? Or, I mean, if you have McCollum and Middleton and Smart, you kind of have to start those guys. But with the younger guys, I would think you'd want to start them to develop more. So what do you think they're going to do as opposed to last year when you pretty much had all young guys in the starting lineup?
I think they'll favor playing the young guys. I think especially as the season goes on, you know, maybe early on veterans get more minutes. You know, obviously the trade deadline is going to be a huge deal when it comes to their veteran players. But, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think roles are as guaranteed for veterans as they are for young players. You know, Marcus Smart last year, very accomplished guy, defensive player of the year. He came off the bench a lot after he started playing for the Wizards. They have, I think, set up a situation where the young guys are going to get the primary roles, get the most minutes, and in a lot of cases get the most shots because they believe that, you know, giving young players a high usage rate and the opportunity to play a lot and play through mistakes, that's the best way to develop them. And it's just their philosophy. You know, it's different for different teams. You know, the Boston Celtics, I think, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown did it a little bit differently. They made them sort of earn their roles on a veteran team that was regularly going on deep playoff runs. But these guys, Will Dawkins and Michael Winger, they come from Oklahoma City that have sort of done it differently, right? They've drafted a lot of young guys over the years and just thrown them right in there. And it's worked out, and they've seen it work with other young players in the past. So that's the way they choose to go, and that's the position they're in, I think, in some respects, because of circumstance, right? The way their rebuild has gone and with the amount of picks they've gotten and the talent that they've brought in. So I think Bub Carrington, even A.J. Johnson, but certainly Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar, expect those guys to get a ton of minutes next year and really be able to show what they could do. And I think ideally a few of them would take big steps forward.
So the opening night starting lineup, McCollum would probably be the only starting veteran?
I wonder about Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton did start when he was playing last year, right, and had a pretty central role. So I feel like he'll probably be in there. But Marcus Smart, seeing them bring him off the bench last year, I feel like that's going to continue. You know, they've got a deep group of guards at this point, and we've already seen him have that role. And obviously he made a pretty nice impact when he was coming off the bench.
Yeah.
All right, Chase, good stuff. It's Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports. Thanks, pal.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Talk
buddy.
A little more hoops. John Fanta is going to join us coming up at 9:25 from Fox here on the Junk. So I saw this article in the Philly Voice, and it may perturb some Commanders fans. Oh, I just lost it.
I've got
but
it.
But I'll go through it.
I got it.
It is the top 10 reasons why the Commanders will be a dumpster fire this year.
Well, I hate these articles.
I know. First of all, it's super biased from an Eagles perspective.
This is something they do every year. They do about all the teams. It's something that the Deadspin guy used to do all the time.
All right. Well, the number one reason is regression is coming. And he basically says,
I think there's some truth to that.
He basically said that since the NFL schedule increased to 16 games, they listed all the teams that had an 8 or more win improvement from the prior year. Okay, so obviously the Commanders had 4 wins 2 years ago, and then last year they improved to 12-5, so an 8 win improvement. And then they just looked at what that team did the following year. And most of those teams, besides one, had a regression.
Mm-hmm.
So, in particular, the Carolina Panthers went 15-1 in 2015. Well, in 2016, the following year, they went 6-10. So he listed all the teams that had great improvements of 8 or more wins from the prior year, and what they did the following season, they all regressed.
So math is on his side. Math he also is on goes side through there. Specific games. Week 2 against the Giants, they were fortunate.
Yeah.
The Hail Mary game, of course, you're fortunate. Spencer Rattler tried to win the game on a 2-point conversion in the Saints game.
Mm-hmm. I do think there's some, the guy truth in
the
hands.
There's some truth that they
there
had.
Some truth.
The luck was on their side.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're not going to go 6-for-6 in all those tight games.
In week 17, the Falcons had a potential game-winning field goal that came up short, I believe. It wasn't like it was a gimme, but
yeah.
So you can, missed it. You, then they win in overtime.
So you can basically look at some of those wins and those factors and say they weren't as good as their record.
800-636-1067. I put a link at Junks Radio on Twitter. He then says, what are these stupid trades this team made? And he puts together the 3 trades, Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil.
Yep.
And he puts what the Commanders gave up in totality. And it's a lot of picks for Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, and Laremy Tunsil. I don't need to go through it. It's 1 second rounder, 2/3, 2/4, and some later round picks.
But they did get picks in return, so if you cancel those out, they basically traded 6 picks to get 3 players.
I mean, ultimately, time's going to tell. EB's very skeptical, and a lot of people are very skeptical about Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've yet to see Deebo Samuel play for him or Laremy Tunsil play for him. So at number 3, he says, what are these stupid signings this team made? Javon Kinlaw gets a 3-year deal, $45 million. In his first 4 years with the 49ers and last year with the Jets, he has 9.5 career sacks in 5 seasons. I don't think that's they're bringing him in here to be a sack guy.
That's basically the only one they focus on.
Yeah.
And look, and we kind of focused it on that too, because when they signed him, we said, well, he was banged up the last couple of years. He was he lacked the production based on injuries, and there's a lot of question marks.
800.
I think they know exactly what they got.
I think if he's healthy, I think they got a really good player.
800-636-1067. If you want to debate this guy from the Philly Voice, who has 10 reasons the Commanders are going to be a dumpster fire, he says, "Good Lord, the team is old AF."
This one kind of stands out.
This one's, look, they've got 30 players, EB, who are 29 years of age already or older. And how does this compare to the rest of the NFL? The next highest teams, the Falcons, Lions, and Texans, they all have 11 less. They only have 19 players who are 29 or older. The Commanders have 30. If you look at the Eagles, how many guys do they have that are 29 or older? They have 8.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're well above average with guys like Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, and others. So their that average one, age is definitely
stands,
a lot older.
Eric, that one kind of stands out. I don't know where the Commanders rank in terms of average age compared to the rest of the league. Are they the oldest team in the league based on this? Maybe, maybe not, maybe bottom 3.
No, I think they're an older team. Yeah. No doubt about
it. So that one kind of stands out, and I probably would agree with. Now they got production from some of those older guys last year.
Yeah, for sure. They were key players.
And key
players. That's why they're bringing them back.
Great. So the question is, can they repeat that as they get older?
I think the question is, are they going to be able to replace them? And yeah, I mean, do I think Zach Ertz will have a year that duplicates last year? Be hard pressed.
Right.
Well, I think this is further down the list, but they were one of the healthier teams in the league last year. They were the 5th healthiest.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder if that
luck runs
out.
That's a more regression thing, yeah.
In the top 10 reasons, according to the Philly Voice, that the Commanders are going to be a dumpster fire, he just says their pass defense will probably suck. And I'll just go hand in hand and says their run defense will almost certainly suck again. They had the third worst run defense in the NFL last year in terms of rushing yards allowed per game. And then the pass defense, the point that this person's trying to make is they don't really have any pass rushers.
Well, again, we talked about it. Even though they didn't have anybody standing out other than sort of Fowler, I guess, had 10 sacks or whatever, they were still like 12th in sacks. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be better against the pass with what they've done in the secondary, especially Trey Amos is getting great reviews. Now, it's only early, and he hasn't played a real game yet, so does it matter? But I think they'll be better against the pass, and I think they're going to be better against the run.
800-636-1067. Do you have a problem with this article written in the Philly Voice? Top 10 reasons the Commanders are going to be a dumpster fire. Are we being too optimistic about the Commanders? This is from a Philly guy who also points out that the rushing offense is carried by their quarterback. Worked out last year. It works out for teams like, the Ravens brought in Derrick Henry, but it works out for teams that have running quarterbacks.
Right.
The Commanders finished third in rushing, 154 rushing yards per game. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels had 891.
Right.
He led the team.
Yep. I mean, are you okay with that?
I am.
Listen.
I still think you need to get better production from your starting running back.
I think they
should. And I'm not saying that Robinson's numbers were terrible because he had 800 yards and eight touchdowns is good, but I still think you got to take a little bit more pressure off your quarterback.
I think in theory, if they stay healthy, he should be a little bit better this year. Excuse me. I do think that the regression of the mean on the Luck stuff, that's definitely very real.
Sure.
And that's unavoidable. But I think talent-wise, we're better.
I also think if you really look at it, they're 7-5. They won their last five. Now, the playoff wins were impressive. But in those last five wins, they beat Will Levis, Spencer Rattler, essentially Kenny Pickett because Jalen Hurts was concussed, Michael Penix, and Trey Lance. True. Not exactly a juggernaut of quarterbacks.
But God bless you. God bless you, my son.
Thank you.
But I will say this. They did beat Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff in the playoffs.
That's why I said the playoffs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Impressive.
I mean, look, every team beats some bad quarterbacks, and you got to beat the bad quarterbacks, but they did beat two really good quarterbacks in the playoffs. Go ahead.
That's why I said from the beginning, they may actually be better this year, and the record be worse.
Yeah.
I said that last year.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Number eight, the idea that Jaden Daniels will only continue to get better is not a given. He goes through a bunch of quarterbacks. Some of them are bums. Some of them were good. Matt Ryan, second year, his QBR went down. We know Robert Griffin III. Dak Prescott, rookie of the year quarterback rating was 77.6. The next year was a 70.
Mm-hmm.
What completion?
You know, some guys went up. No, this is a QBR.
Oh.
CJ Stroud went from a 57.5 to a 49.8. Last year, Jaden Daniels was at 70.6. And then the last 2 points. He brings up, says the Commanders converted an unsustainable percentage of fourth down conversions. They were 20 for 23.
That one I do agree with.
That's true.
And then the last one is in the NFC Championship game, he says Quinn turtled up in the Commanders' biggest moment. I think it's they had an 18-play drive at the very beginning of the game, and they went for it on fourth down, I believe, twice and converted it. And then they had another fourth down. It was a 4th-and-3, and they settled for a field goal there. And so what he's saying is that Quinn turtled up in the biggest moment.
Mm. I just think they got beat by a much better team that day.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have had to play a perfect game, and the Eagles would have had to play a C-minus game.
Yeah, to me, the bigger problem was the very first time that the Eagles handed the ball to Saquon Barkley.
He went to the house.
Which they knew was coming. He took it all the way.
Yeah.
And there was nothing they could do about it.
But the two that I would agree with in the top 10, actually maybe three, one was certainly the luck that they had in some of those wins. Two, 20 of 23 on fourth downs for almost 90%. That's a crazy number.
Yeah, that's unsustainable.
And then,
but it could still be very good.
Yeah, sure. But teams aren't going to usually keep achieving 90% of fourth downs.
No, I think it's never been done ever before.
And then the average age of their team compared to other teams. So now you're going to, I mean, it's just based on number, like probability that those older players won't perform like they did last year or probably get hurt.
800-636-1067. We have some people on the line. We'll come back, take your calls. Do you have a problem with this? The Philadelphia writer saying there's 10 reasons why they're going to be a dumpster fire, or do Do you think he's just being a jackass? Or do you put some credence into it? We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies.